Our speaker today is Dr. William Pierce, the chairman of the National Alliance, which is the world's foremost organization working for the long-term interests of white Americans and for people of European ancestry wherever they may live.
Hello. Last year, I got into the business of producing and distributing music. I had a couple of reasons for doing so. A general reason is that I want to continue to build my capability for communicating with the public through every medium that can be used effectively for that purpose. And music can be a very effective medium. A specific reason is that I wanted a medium for communicating with alienated young Americans who listen to a type of music known as resistance music. These young Americans have grown up in a multiculturalized America. They've been weaned on Jewish television programming. They've gone to racially mixed schools and been lied to by politically correct teachers about how everyone is equal, about how we must all learn to get along with one another, that more and more diversity and multiculturalism are the irresistible wave of the future, and that no normal person should want to resist this wave anyway because it's good and oh so wonderful. The music these kids have heard while growing up has been very heavy on rock, and the media bosses are now phasing them into rap. Instead of adapting to multiculturalism like good little lemmings should, however, these young people have rebelled. The multicultural planners, the media bosses, have succeeded in alienating them, in cutting them loose from their roots. But the media bosses have not succeeded in making them like being uprooted. The Jews in Hollywood and New York have not succeeded in making the kids like or accept multiculturalism. The kids have rebelled in various ways that the planners of America's destruction simply didn't count on. The healthiest elements among these young people have responded to their tribal instinct and have sought to reestablish their racial roots in one way or another. Resistance music has played an important role in this quest for roots and community and meaning. Some of the music expresses very explicit defiance of those who have attempted to force the kids into a multicultural lifestyle. It expresses anger against the government. It expresses resentment against the Jewish planners behind the government's multicultural programs. It expresses hostility against non-whites and against everyone who is allied to the non-whites. It is fighting music. All of this music, which expresses anger and resentment and rebelliousness, is properly called resistance music. And most, though not all, of it belongs to the rock genre. Back in the mid-1950s, the Jews began inaugurating many of their programs to multiculturalize America. One of these programs involved moving young whites away from traditionally white musical forms and replacing these white musical forms with black music. The most notable aspect of this program was the use of singer Elvis Presley to popularize rock and roll among young white people. Before Elvis, rock and roll was essentially a black musical form with black roots, black performers, and black listeners. With their control of the popular music industry and broadcasting, the Jews were successful in their effort to drag rock and roll across the color line, just as they are succeeding now in popularizing another black musical form, rap, among young whites. The Jews were so successful in popularizing rock among young whites, in fact, that the kids eventually began to think of it as their music, as white music. Then young white musicians turned the tables on the Jews by writing their own rock lyrics, and their lyrics were rebellious lyrics, angry lyrics, defiant lyrics, lyrics which told the Jews, in effect, to go to hell, that young whites would not permit the Jews any longer to force whites to multiculturalize. The Jews responded by labeling the music with these defiant lyrics, hate music. Despite the label, and despite the efforts of the Jews to suppress it by denying it access to the mass media, resistance music continued to attract new fans among young whites. And the music evolved. The genre broadened. Resistance lyrics were written for some country music. My company, Resistance Records, sells this country music under the label Johnny Rebel. Resistance music also incorporated other music from the past, which had nothing to do with rock. Resistance Records, for example, also sells march music and other patriotic music from the very racially conscious Third Reich. On the internet, you can see a listing of all of the resistance music I distribute at resistance.com. And all of this music, whether rock or country or German march music, is denounced by the mass media as hate music so long as it shows any trace of racial consciousness or resistance to multiculturalism. But as I said a moment ago, it was the healthiest elements among our young people who gave expression to their tribal feeling in their music. Others have expressed their alienation in different ways, in less healthy ways. Some have rebelled against the unnatural environment of multiculturalism without really understanding fully what they were rebelling against. Instead of having a positive alternative to the Jews' programs, they have simply rejected everything, or at least everything traditional. They have become nihilists. Some have turned to Satanism as a way of expressing their anger against the traditional world they feel has let them down, a multicultural world in which they feel they have no place. Their music is full of satanic imagery and mumbo-jumbo. There are pentagrams and goat's heads and Kabbalistic characters from the Hebrew alphabet in the graphics accompanying their music. Satanism is almost a parody of traditional Judeo-Christianity with chanting and rituals and priestly hocus-pocus and so on. Satanic music should not be mistaken for pagan music. Pagan music is much more serious music, and its purpose is not so much to express resentment against Christianity as it is to give expression to the healthy religious feelings of pre-Christian Europe and to express an awareness of blood and soil and very deep racial roots. It is not nihilistic, and it really belongs with the other positive forms of resistance music. That is, with what the Jews denounce as hate music. The nihilistic music, on the other hand, is fine with the Jews. They would prefer, I believe, for everyone to be a good little multicultural lemming. But if one must rebel against that, then the rebellion should take a nihilistic form. And of course, Satanism isn't the only form of nihilism. For example, there's a whole category of rock music which is called death metal. And let me tell you, it is very sick stuff. It is totally hedonistic, like satanic music. You know, everything goes. If it feels good, do it. You have no responsibility to anyone or anything but yourself. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is worthy of respect. Nothing matters but your own personal pleasure. But death metal goes beyond hedonism, far beyond it. It is music that glories in perversity, music that seeks to defile, music that exalts sickness and unnaturalness and pain and decay and destruction and death. Its lyrics deal with cannibalism, with necrophilia, with bestiality, and with every other perversion imaginable. Torture and mutilation are very common themes. It's morbid, twisted stuff. The concerts put on by these nihilist musical groups are quite extreme. They may involve people urinating or defecating on each other on stage. Sexual intercourse of various types may take place in the background. And real or simulated genital torture and mutilation may be part of the show. I know a fellow who plays in a rock band called Genna Torturers, and that's what they do, genital torture, live and on stage. Now, you might wonder why I'm telling you about these things. First, I want you to know that I don't distribute such music and have no intention of doing so. Everything produced or distributed by my company, Resistance Records, is positive, healthy, racially oriented resistance music, what the Jews call hate music. If the Jews hate it, I produce it and distribute it. If the Jews like it, I have nothing to do with it. But I do have two interests in nihilist music. My first interest is why this sick music, this satanic and death metal music, is increasingly popular among young white people in America and in Europe. Why is it attractive to so many young people? I have some ideas about that, and I'll share them with you in a moment. My second interest in this sick music is the Jewish connection. I mentioned that I know a fellow who plays in a death metal band. He sent me a CD he had produced, complete with Satanist symbols and the accompanying graphics for the jewel case. I was surprised to note that the CD had a Time Warner copyright. Marilyn Manson is probably the best known performer in the Satanist music genre. His records are distributed by Interscope, which is a property of Universal Studios, which is owned by Jewish liquor and media billionaire Edgar Bronfman Jr. One obvious reason the Jews produce and promote and distribute this sick music is simply greed. They pay to have it produced, they put their labels on it, and they sell it in their big record stores in New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco because they make money on it. An appallingly large number of white teenagers are attracted to the stuff. Well, greed is just one reason. It is not surprising that where there is a market for something, the Jews will come crowding in and elbow everyone else aside in their eagerness to grab the profit for themselves. But why not try to make money from real resistance music also? There's a big, largely undeveloped market for that music too. Why do they leave that market to me and focus their own efforts on the necrophilia and Satanism and genital torture? They never permit any real resistance music to be sold in the big record stores where they sell their sick music. You see, both resistance music and nihilist music, death metal music, are in a sense rebel music, music which expresses a rejection of what we might call the mainstream world. Resistance music fans reject the mainstream world because it has been multiculturalized, because it no longer is a white world, and they want to make it white again. Death metal fans reject the mainstream world simply because they have become alienated and no longer have an attachment to anything but themselves. The Jews attempt to suppress the former music and promote the latter. And that fits right in with the general Jewish tendency. Always promote that which is destructive and destroy that which is healthy. And if you doubt that death metal music is really destructive, then you just haven't been exposed to it. You've led too sheltered a life to understand how much really nasty stuff is out there. Go to a death metal concert sometime. Read the lyrics to a few death metal songs. In fact, listen. I'll read to you a few lines from one of the more popular Satanist bands, Deicide. This is from a Deicide song called Sacrificial Suicide. Lust into reality, Satan, angel of the black abyss, Satan, Lord, I hail, insane, blasphemous Satan, sacrificial suicide, ritual to end my life, behemoth, incest, my fate, Satan, damned to tell, end of my life, wrath of God, Satan, sin, my soul, blesses with fire, throne of stone, Satan, I must die, in my wake, seventh gate, Satan, Suicide, end my life. I must die, Satan. Suicide, sacrifice. Thrust of evil deep inside. Lucifer never lies. Take away the mortal life. Demigod, Satan, son. Commend to body to the ground. Father Satan, I'll find peace when I am God. Well, of course, much of that is simply gibberish and non-words. But the flavor is quite clear. The Jews, understandably, are a little shy about publicizing their involvement in this stuff where middle-class parents might find out about it and become alarmed. They'd just as soon you not ponder too much on the involvement of Time Warner's boss, Gerald Levin, or Universal Studios boss, Edgar Boffman, in the production and promotion of satanic music. But they're certainly not shy about rubbing your kids' noses in it. The Jews peddle this filth to confused white teenagers as shamelessly as any black crack dealer selling his poisonous wares on a school playground. I want to stress this point. The people promoting this filth are not just sleazy, marginal Jews in trench coats fresh off the boat from Russia. They are filthy rich, billionaire Jewish media bosses, respectable Jews, the leaders of the Jewish community, Jews who own Hollywood film studios and arrive in long limousines at the White House for state dinners and have every politician in the Congress in their pockets. They are the Jews behind the multiculturalizing of America, the Jews who planned forced racial integration and open borders and affirmative action. They are the Jews whose programs have uprooted and alienated millions of young white Americans. They are the Jews who, in response to the alienation and anger they themselves have caused, now sell satanic and death metal music to American teenagers. That's an example of what they proudly call chutzpah. And now, the other question. Why do any white kids tolerate this filth? Why is there a market for it? Why do 15-year-old white boys and girls from good families listen to lyrics with very explicit descriptions of sex with corpses? Why do they pay to go to concerts where they watch a woman on stage having her genitalia sewed shut with a needle and thread to the screeching and thumping accompaniment of a rock band? Part of the answer is obvious. Kids will do anything, and I mean absolutely anything, which is fashionable. They will put safety pins through their nipples or studs through their tongues without having a clue as to what it's all about, except that other kids in their peer group are doing the same thing. If the Jewish media bosses promote it, a substantial portion of the kids will do it without a second thought. And really, death metal is no worse than the rap music that the Jews also are promoting among young whites. The young white lemmings, who are more or less acclimated to multiculturalism, go for the rap. Alienated young whites without a clue tend toward the death metal. One advantage the latter music has is that it will shock their parents, even liberal parents, whereas liberal parents hardly can be shocked by rap without running the risk of seeming to be racists. There's more than cluelessness and a desire to shock parents involved in the growing popularity of death metal, however. The music reflects a growing morbidity in the outlook of young white people. The growing suicide rate among young whites also reflects this. Alienation is not a normal, healthy condition. When a large number of young people are uprooted and no longer have a clear sense of identity or a clear sense of belonging to a natural community, to a racial community, one should not be surprised at the development of various pathologies, such as hedonism and the fascination with death. One also should not be surprised at the various forms of destructive behavior, especially self-destructive behavior which are becoming much more common among young white people. One shouldn't make the mistake of blaming bad behavior on the music, however. The kids who listen to this music already had problems. The music is a symptom of their pathology, not the cause of it. The Jews have destroyed their world, have cut them off from their roots, and that is what the kids are reacting badly to, not the music. When a kid who listens to satanic or death metal music carves up a neighbor's pet or his own little sister in some sort of satanic ritual, the music didn't make him do it. The Jewish media bosses and the politicians in the government who destroyed his world with their multicultural programs made him do it. And exactly the same thing can be said about white teenagers who plan and carry out massacres at their schools. The Columbine High School killers were Marilyn Manson fans, but Marilyn Manson didn't make them slaughter 13 people. Edgar Bronfman Jr., who sells Marilyn Manson's music, made them do it. Edgar Bronfman Jr. and his fellow filthy rich Jews who consciously and deliberately, with malice aforethought, planned the destruction of the white world we used to have in America, where white teenagers could grow up with roots in a healthy and natural way. Perhaps you can understand now why I thought it worthwhile to talk with you about the rather distasteful subject of satanic and death metal music. It's not an obscure, underground little phenomenon. It's big business for the Jews who are pushing it. Time Warner and Universal Studios don't waste their time with little underground phenomena. And it's about as clear and unambiguous an indicator as you can find of what is happening to our people, of the sickness that is overtaking us. I want to rub your noses in it. I want you to smell the stink of death that is in it. And I want you to understand who is behind it and why they're behind it. You know, there are a lot of mainstream Christian preachers who have railed against satanic music from time to time, but not one of them has breathed a word about the Jewish connection. Oh my goodness, no, that would be anti-Semitic. They would have you believe that this sickness just sprang up of its own accord, out of nowhere, for no good reason. And of course, if you approach it that way, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem real. You have to understand the Jewish connection before you can take this sickness seriously. I'm telling you that you'd better take it seriously. I'm telling you that you'd better understand what it's all about and how it fits in with everything else that is happening these days. And I want to give you some positive news, too. The number of people who listen to real resistance music, the positive, healthy kind of resistance music that I produce and distribute, the kind the Jews call hate music, is growing fast. One of these days soon, there will be enough of us to make some changes in this world. And by God, when that day comes, we're going to have very little patience with the soft, pampered, middle-class folks who didn't pay attention to what was happening because they were too busy at the shopping mall or too busy watching the ball game or too afraid of being labeled haters by the Jews and their allies. The anger is building. The rage is building. And it's going to break loose. Thanks for being with me again today.
You have been listening to a presentation of American Dissident Voices. The speaker was Dr. William Pierce, chairman of the National Alliance. The program was sponsored as a public service by National Vanguard Books, America's foremost supplier of patriotic books and tapes. For $2, we'll send you our newest 72-page illustrated catalog with descriptions and ordering information for more than 600 books and tapes of interest to patriots. Many of the items in the National Vanguard Books catalog are available nowhere else. Our mailing address is National Vanguard Books, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.